Hi, Goodwach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to yet another double parsha. Can you believe it? And this one is a double parsha both in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael. That's right. It is Parshat Matos Maaseh. This is Yisachar Wartell, and I'm going to talk to you about Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe. That's right. How'd half of Menashe get in there? That's another story, but not for right now. All right. Towards the end of this week's parsha, that's when it happens. The tribes of Reuven and Gad approach Moshe Rabbeinu, asking them to have their territories be on the east side of the Jordan River. And, you know, obviously Moshe is very affronted. I mean, they just conquered this land from Sichon and Og, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. They were talking about going to the land of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and, like, you know, he just doesn't understand it. He accuses them of not wanting the land, like the 10 spies had maligned it. Now, when he's quoting the words of Hashem, that the first generations of the Jews would die in the Midbar due to what the spies did and their complaints Klal Yisrael had over there, the Torah uses the phrase, Ki lo mil'u acharai, for they were not full after me. Right? It's a very strange language. And that's in contrast to Kalev and Yeshua, who did desire to enter the land, as the Pasuk states next, Ki mil'u acharai Hashem, for they were full after Hashem. Now, the concept of mil'u, they were full, is a very peculiar phraseology. So in addition to the fact that that word is used, also, why is it acharei Hashem? Why is it after Hashem, not lifnei Hashem? We often say lifnei Hashem, from before Hashem. Why do we say after Hashem? So those are our two main questions. One, why the root of male meaning full? It's kind of a strange word to use in that context. And why acharei Hashem, not lifnei Hashem? Now, Onkelos translates mil'u, in the case of they were not full, as ashlimu. They did not complete, or they did not make themselves complete. It is not uncommon for the root of male, rather than to mean full, to mean complete, specifically than to just be like filled. But what exactly does it mean here? So the Ibn Ezra hints to the idea that the Meraglim didn't finish what was started. They had an opportunity to, and they specifically did not. Bnei Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim not only to receive the Torah and become close with Hashem, but to also enter and settle the land of Israel. That would have been completing, at least the first stage, but completing the first main point of taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. It was to ultimately get to Eretz Yisrael. The 10 spies who are rejecting this did not complete or mole this mission. Now, there are other commentaries who explain this in other ways. One of them is the Total Yitzchak, who explains that the 10 spies had an opportunity to complete Hashem's glory, in a sense, right? But yet they created some kavyachol deficiency in it in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. The conquest of the land would have been inherently miraculous. They wouldn't have even had to fight. Now, we know that it was still miraculous when Yeshua went in 40 years later, and you know, that was still miraculous, and the armies, you know, fell before them, and all these miracles occurred. But they wouldn't even have to fight in the first place if they hadn't complained effectively against going into the land. It would be so apparent that Hashem was winning the war for them. There would be not even the remotest illusion. There would be no dealing with giants, you have to deal with strong nations. Hashem would just make everything happen. Exactly how it would work, we don't know, but Hashem would make it work. And only Yeshua and Kalev understood this. Only they made this claim. They made the attempt to complete Hashem's glory and say that Hashem is to the fullest and Hashem is going to complete his nisim to the fullest in order to make sure that it happens and you get into the land. But the 10 spies did not make that claim and hence led to a deficiency and lack of completeness or lack of fullness. Now the Al-Sheikh goes actually in a very different direction and with much great detail, most of which I can't get into right now. But one thing he mentions, which is fascinating, is that Bnei Yisrael had to do a tikkun, a repair, of the Dibat Ra, the evil speech that Yosef spoke about his brothers. The spies, and collectively the rest of Bnei Yisrael, were to only report good tidings about the land and sing its praises, right? That was the whole point. They were to come back with a good report, right? You know, obviously, Moshe said, report good or bad, but if they saw good, they weren't supposed to taint it, you know, in a particular way. Yeshua from the tribe of Ephraim, who was one of Yosef's sons, was one of the two who specifically did rectify this. But nobody else other than Kalev did. Now, I do mention my friend, you know, Isaac Kay, who helps me out from time to time. He had pointed out to me that Yosef's speech was the impetus for creating the friction which ultimately led to the descent of Egypt. That's actually something similar to something else I heard either this morning or yesterday. It was yesterday. Therefore, to go out of Mitzrayim, carrying Yosef's bones, no less, they could actually complete the rectification and thereby ending exile forever, right? We would never have to, you know, go into exile. And we would enter the land of Canaan or Eretz Yisrael. And it was a degree lower. We were able to go into Eretz Yisrael a generation later through Yeshua, who was Yosef's descendant. But it wasn't the same. it wasn't quite the same. Now, Kalev also had to rectify the evil speech, but not from Yosef, not from when Yosef spoke bad about his brothers, but rather from Yehuda. And you're like, what are they talking about? You're like, Yehuda didn't do anything, right? Yehuda tried to stick up for Yosef. So where do we ever see that Yehuda ever spoke badly and had to rectify it? So the Alshik gives a couple suggestions. One was what he calls Shamua Shav, empty news, which is possibly complaining about his circumstances when, you know, when his two sons passed away and he didn't know where he was going and he had the whole thing with he had money and he had to go into foreign land and he basically was complaining, right? Which again, you know, Jews complain, that's what they do. We see that in the Midbar and we see they didn't really learn the lesson from it. But the point is, Kalev's job was to rectify this ongoing trait of complaining, especially complaining over something which was not a very legitimate gripe. And the Meraglim were having the Jews complain about something which wasn't something to complain about. You want to complain about the lack of water? Fine. Lack of food? Fine. But you're going to complain about taking us into the land of Eretz Yisrael, the land of milk and honey, this amazing land? That's a Shemua Shav. There's no reason to complain about that. And Kalev fought against that, right? So he had to his job was to counteract this. Yashuv also explains that Yehuda was the one who exclaimed after Yosef went missing and he went sold, whatever exactly happened, right? And they took the coat and they tore it and they put it in the goat's blood. And he said to Yaakov, is this not the coat of your son? When the brothers showed Yaakov the bloody tunic, it was deceptive. He meant well, but he ultimately presented a falsehood as truth. So too, the other spies may have actually had the best intentions for Klal Yisrael. Again, it's a huge debate. They wanted to stay in the desert, close to Hashem. They wanted to have miracles constantly. They wanted to be surrounded by miracles. They didn't want to have to worry about, you know, farming the land and doing work and things like that. They wanted to just be constantly in the basking of Hashem. And they didn't want Klal Yisrael to have to, you know, be involved with the physical world. They wanted to just be spiritual, even though, but that's not what Hashem wanted, right? They had good intentions, but they still acted out through falsehood. And Kalev's job was to rectify this, right? He was a descendant of Yehuda, and he realized that it doesn't matter what intentions you have. If Hashem says we're to go into this land, we're going to go into this land. I'm not going to utter any falsehood. I saw that the land was good. I know that the land is good because Hashem told me, or so told Moshe, who told me. So I'm going to say the truth. So his job was to make it whole or make it complete, right? To kind of rectify what some of Yehuda's mistakes may have been that ultimately led to some of the grief, which towards the beginning of what ultimately led to the suffering in Egypt. And he, like Yehoshua, right, so Kalev and Yehoshua are both trying to complete this mission, to basically like, almost like wipe the slate clean, like, right, we're going to forget what brought us into Mitzrayim potentially in the first place, we're going to forget about our complaints, we're just going to move on, right, we're going to try and rectify everything, we believe you, Hashem, we're going to go in wholeheartedly, and everything is going to be amazing. Like, we're going to embrace the goodness. We're not going to focus on the negative. We're going to have an Ayin Tov instead of an Ayin Ra. That was their goal. Unfortunately, you know, most of Klal Yisrael didn't see it that way. But they still had to do that. Now, this is perhaps why the Lashon of Acharei after is instead of the word Lifnei before. Because in order to complete something, you have to move forward. As the Shem Yishmuel says, one must put forth effort, and Hashem will help you complete it. Hashem comes after. First you put, I mean, yes, sometimes Hashem will come first, but most of the time Hashem wants us to put the first foot forward, right? We have to make the first initial step, and then Hashem comes afterwards. You must go, in a sense, in front of Hashem to take the lead. Don't just follow. Yehoshua was a leader, and Kalev was a leader, and they helped ultimately pave the way for the next generation, which was about to happen, right? This is at the end of the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It's the end of the 40 years in the Midbar. And now was the time to pass the torch over to Yehoshua, and Kalev would be a part of that. He was one of the only people, I mean, other than women, but he was the only other man from the previous generation who had survived, you know. So he was a leader as well. He was, you know, he was an elder, you know, in all respects, that would help them lead. And they can say, we've been there. We're going to start taking the lead, and Hashem will help us every step of the way. Take one step, and Hashem will be acharei us. Hashem will be after us. You don't always have to complete the journey, but you have to make the effort to do so. You do your part to reach some level of completion, even if you don't wind up achieving completion, but you strive to make something complete or full, Hashem will help you with the rest. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.